Hi, I'm Brandy from The Inspiring Bee. I write about inspiration, purpose, and the emotional side of the writing life. Today, I'm talking to Linda Strader, the first woman on a U.S. Forest Service fire crew, about her memoir, Summers of Fire. Well, I'm so glad to have you on here, and I'm excited to talk to you about your book. I wanted to ask you, I was able to listen to the Out There podcast I mentioned, and it was really interesting to hear about your experience. You're a woman firefighter in the 70s in a male-dominated field, and I was just so curious about you. So the book came out in 2018, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So what made you decide to write it and at that time?
Well, you know, it's I never set out to write a book. What happened was that in 2008, the economy collapsed, and you know, the housing market just fell apart, which was my job was in land development as a landscape architect, and so I lost my job, and I had just ended my 23-year marriage, and shortly after I lost my job, my mom died, and my whole world fell apart, and I was just this lost soul trying to figure out, now what in the world am I going to do? And I just bought a house too. I mean, it was terrifying. And I just, for lack of, you know, I was pacing around. I was looking for work and not finding anything. But I had a lot of time on my hands. And the future looked terrible. And so I started looking to the past just to, you know, kind of make myself feel better. And I started reading my journals when I was a firefighter. I dearly loved my job, and it was something that I didn't want to give up, but I was forced to. And I realized, gosh, you know, I had some really good times and some adventures, and maybe I should try writing some of this down, so I don't forget. Mm-hmm. So, because some of the things I remembered weren't in my journals, you know, in the detail that I remembered them. So I just started writing things down, and I came up with 90 pages, and I thought, gee, you know, I wonder if this is, you know, anything someone would want to read, you know. So I shared it with friends, and they were like, wow, you know, this is really interesting. You ought to write more.
Wow.
Well, okay. So I sat down and wrote 400 more pages.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I realized, oh, my gosh, I guess I have a book.
Yeah. That is so amazing, because I always like to talk about how, you know, the difficult parts of life, like the things that we consider negative emotions, like as you were talking about, there is grief, there is fear there. It's always during those moments that we're like so motivated to get it on the paper or to write. And I always think that sometimes it's a strength to go through these situations, because if you didn't, maybe you wouldn't have had, you know, even thought of doing about writing this book.
Exactly. I mean, really, if my world hadn't fallen apart, I probably would not have.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, because I had, you know, when I was busy working, and I had, you know, and my life was, you know, full of things, and, you know, and moving on in my life after my divorce and all that. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have.
Mm,
you know, it took, you know, some devastating experiences for me to want to have that desire to write things down. I was always very good about keeping a journal up until shortly after I married, and then I just stopped. You know, and I had a career, and I just stopped writing. But I'm so glad I did, though. And it also reminded me of when I wrote in my journals. That was my outlet for all of the, you know, emotional turmoil of being a teen, and all those things that you go through. And I realized that, yeah, you know, I should start writing again. But I didn't think of myself as a writer. I was just writing this stuff down.
Mm. How did it feel when you were writing it down?
Well, you know, at first I stayed very, it was more of just, you know, these were all the things that happened and all the adventures that I had. And then I had to learn how to actually write a book. And then it changed into getting into the emotional side of all the things that happened to me. And I realized, this is going to be harder than I thought. Because now I'm getting into the stuff that did not go well. And now I had to relive all of this. And I didn't, so it was, there were times where some of the things that I had to write down and remember and live through again were really painful. And I was, sometimes I just had to stop writing and walk away. So it became a lot more than I ever thought that it was going to be.
It sounds like
that. It was a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I bet that probably anybody writing a memoir and looking back, I was going to ask you that actually about what it was like to actually feel like you have to relive something that was difficult. How did you get through it? And could you share a little bit about that? Maybe something specific in the book that was challenging for you?
Well, you know, I met my husband on a fire crew. In fact, I went to my first fire with him. And I pretty much left him out of the book because when we first divorced, there was a lot of upheaval in our lives, and he didn't want me to leave, and so that was really brutal. But then things settled down, and we turned to becoming, we were friends. We were better friends than we were husband and wife. And we stayed friends until he found somebody else, and then he just cut me off, just completely cut me off. So I did not put him in the book. I can't imagine how I could write about falling in love with this guy. You know, yeah. How in the world would I ever make that believable?
So where you were.
But I had readers tell me, there's something missing in here. And I said, well, yeah, I left my ex out. And they said, you can't do that.
Wow, so what was that like? Because, I mean, being able to write about somebody that you had a difficult relationship with, did you have to ask this for his approval? Or
no, I didn't. No, he doesn't even know the book is written.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I don't care what he thinks. it doesn't matter to me. But I did find that that having to go back there, because thank goodness I had my journals, because then I could read about, you know, how we fell in love. I mean, obviously, because we got married. So I had to rely on my journals to remind me of how I felt, because I didn't feel that way. And I had to, so boy, was that hard to put him back in there. And the book starts out with my first my first fire season, and it does come up to present day. It comes up to about 2015. So. So I'm going. I'm reliving all of the recent things that happened between us too, and I didn't want to.
Wow.
But I knew that I had to wrap up the story and what I learned from, you know, everything that happened. And so it was not easy. But to cope with it, man, there were days I just had to walk away.
Yeah, sounds like it was a lot of emotional stuff. I'm so surprised that the thing that was difficult was actually your ex-husband piece, and I didn't know that was part of the story. It's very interesting.
And there was, every time I would just forge through, you know, a particular section and think, oh, thank goodness that's done, and I move on. But I forgot that I'd have to go back and edit.
Oh, man.
So every time I'd come to these sections that were so difficult to write, I'd get upset all over again. I spent a lot of time, and I still do. I'm an avid hiker, and for me, going out and hiking in the forest, or like this time of year, it's really hot, so I go for a swim, and I can, you know, I can let my mind just go, you know, it's like, okay, you can do this, you know, you can get through this. So, you know, it was pretty much, and I had to go back to it because I wanted to finish it. So, but I've been asked often, was it cathartic? No, it really wasn't.
Yeah,
you know, because it. Well, okay, maybe a little bit now that it's published and is out in the world. But at the time I was writing it, no, it did not make me feel better. It made me feel worse.
Mm. Is it because you're reliving a specific situation that was difficult that never got resolved? What was it specifically that made it hard for you? And was it hard in the sense of being able to write it out and into words that were, you know, people would want to read? Or is it, you know, to get it from a journal kind of emotional ranting to like being able to write it as a memoir? Was that difficult as well?
Right, so I had to take it from, so yes, I did not want to turn him into a monster, mm-hmm. and it was all his fault because we both had issues. So I wanted to be fair. He was abusive, And writing about the abuse was really hard because I kind of tuned that out.
Yeah.
And I feel incredibly guilty leaving him because he still loved me and didn't want me to leave. And he was completely devastated. And that was painful. And then, you know, when we find, for 10 years, we remained friends. We used to talk once a week or maybe even see each other once every couple of months, have dinner or, you know, talk on the phone for a couple hours. And I was very comfortable with the relationship that we had, because I didn't hate him. I just couldn't be married to him.
Yeah.
And when he found somebody else, he literally just cut me off. He refused to speak to me. I see him in the store, and he won't even look at me. He pretends he doesn't know who I am.
Wow, that's amazing. And so having to write about something that you probably wanted to just forget must have been really difficult.
Yeah, very difficult. Wow. So, you know, and I don't have a whole lot of detail in there about that. And I've had readers ask me why. Well, you know, why not? And I said, well, because I don't want to burden people. That's not what the story is about.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened at the, you know, more recent. It's the rest of the story that to me is important, and my perseverance and determination to take on a job that men didn't want me to have.
Hmm.
And then I was injured and I lost my career, and I was lucky that I could even walk again. So I had to, there was a lot of of learning how to rebuild my life out of, you know, disasters. And I had to do it twice. I mean, I did it once after my injury, and then I had to do it again when I got divorced. Then I kind of felt like I did it a third time when my ex stopped talking to me. It was like it was a whole it was like I went through the divorce all over again.
Wow.
When he did that.
That's amazing.
It just felt like a divorce again.
I mean, I feel like sometimes when we write, I think writing for me anyway gives me a different perspective and helps me to learn something or see something in a different way. I know you mentioned not being completely cathartic, but did it give you any kind of insight, I guess, going back and reflecting on all the difficult experiences you had to go through?
With my ex or with my career?
I guess both or either.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to make sure that I focused on that there were events that happened to me that, you know, that just turned my life upside down. And I went through a very rough period where I was just really depressed. I thought my life was over. And so I wrote it in such a way that it's gradually I began to realize that if anything was going to change, I was going to have to change it. No one was going to fix it for me. And I think I wanted somebody to fix it for me.
Hmm.
And it just doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way as much as we want it to. It just doesn't. And somehow I found it in me to make a decision. My career with the Forest Service is over. I guess I have to go to college. And I went to college and I ended up getting 2 degrees. So it was... it's one of those things that it takes me a really long time to make a decision that I've got to do something, but once I make up my mind, there's absolutely no stopping me.
I kind of felt that as well, like when you're talking in that interview, that there's a bit of confidence there that you learned something, that you could get through anything. I remember you said something like that, and it sounds like there's like a theme. Is that kind of in your story as well?
It is. Because it's one of those things when I was writing it, you know, after it was all, you know, written down, then I went through it again and I realized I could see myself changing.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it was something that I didn't recognize at the time I was writing it. But obviously I changed because, as I progressed in my Forest Service career, I got more confident, and I still had to fight to keep the job that I wanted because I was met with discrimination and harassment and I was held back, and men weren't, you know. And I watched my ex worked for the Forest Service, so I watched him get advanced in his career, and I went nowhere.
That must have been rough.
And Yeah, I could look back at it now and say, oh, okay, I know what's going on. But at the time, I was just confused. I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm not good enough. I'm like, no. If this is the way they're going to treat me, then I'll go work someplace else. I moved around a lot. I mean, you do that in the Forest Service anyway. You do move around a lot. But I thought, you know what? If this particular place isn't going to treat me right, then I'll find someplace that will. And I would take a job someplace else. So I went to Alaska for a summer.
Oh, that's amazing. You're so inspiring.
Yeah.
I just love your mentality of, like, when things get difficult, you pick up and get confidence instead of just... I mean, I think that's what has carried you through all the difficult experiences that you've had. And then you wrote a book about it. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, what's interesting is that I had a friend that I met online, actually. I was writing when I was laid off and I was looking for work. I was just going stir crazy, and I wanted to make a little money, and I wondered if maybe I could write articles about landscaping. So I found an online magazine, and they paid, you know, like $2 for a 200-word article, but then you got paid for page views too. And did I make a lot of money? I was lucky if I made $20 a month, but it gave me something to do, you know. So I started writing for them, and I met a woman who was writing for them as well, and she saw some of my gardening articles, and we connected and talked about that, and it turned out she lives in Tucson, which is about 30 miles from me, and she's a retired English teacher.
Oh.
And so at the time, I was working on my book, and I mentioned it to her, and she said, oh, I'd love to see it. That sounds really interesting. So, you know, long story short, she offered to look at it for me and help me with grammar and sentence structure. And eventually she got to know me so well, she was helping me with the story.
Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing. That just happened that way.
And, you know, she gave me 5 years of her life. It's serious.
So it took about 5 years to write it then? How long did it take?
Pardon?
How long did it actually take, about 5 years to write it and edit it?
It took me six.
6 years, yeah.
6 years, and then 2 years to find a publisher.
What was that like?
And that's not unusual because I went the traditional route. And in those 2 years, I was still editing. I mean, every time I got a rejection letter from an agent or a publisher, and if they actually gave me some advice, after I got over them, you know, had a good cry, they hated it, you know, and then I think, no, they didn't hate it. And that's when I would call my friend and say, they hate it. She says, no, they don't. That's not what that says.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, how many rejections do you think you got in that? How long were you querying out your manuscript?
Two years. Yeah, I have over 200 rejections.
Wow, that is so amazing. I swear, every time I talk to a published author, I think you must have so much resilience to get through that. I mean, how did you keep going? I know you had the friend that was helping you. What else kept you going and not to say, I just give up?
Well, you know, there were times where I wanted to, and I'd call her and I'd tell her, I give up, I've got another rejection today. She says, you know, you're going to keep getting rejections, and that's okay, because you haven't found the right agent yet.
That's, wow.
And she'd tell me, she'd say, you've got a good story here. She said, you know, you keep forgetting that you didn't give up, mm-hmm. and most people would have given up, and you didn't. And so, you've got a good story. So, my confidence would come back, and then, like I said, it was discouraging, but if a agent said, boy, I sure love the premise here, but the first chapter just didn't grab me, so that, you know, that just made me think, wait, okay, what's wrong with the first chapter?
Mm-hmm.
So the first chapter became chapter two, and I wrote a new first chapter.
Oh.
And when I did that, I've got four requests for the full manuscript from two agents and two from two small publishers. Everything changed, and it was all because of the first chapter. It was just amazing to me.
That is amazing. I mean, that's actually a positive rejection to get feedback like that. I think it's really difficult. Yeah, I mean, that means you're on the right path for sure.
Yeah. You know, and I would say out of all the 200 rejections, I probably had 10 that actually said something that I could say, okay, I need to fix this. Usually it was just, thank you, it's not for us, you know, we don't do memoir or whatever.
Can you imagine?
It's generic. It doesn't tell you anything.
I mean, can you imagine the process of you, I mean, just from when you started, you know, 6 years before, and if you knew that it was going to take about 200 rejections to get published, do you think you would have been able to keep the fight?
I'm sorry, Brandy, I didn't quite catch your question.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, if you had, one of the questions I was going to ask you is, you know, looking back at 6 years of all that work, and what would you tell your earlier self about the process? And then also, you know, just wondering, like, can you imagine if you had known when you first started looking at your journal entries that it was going to take you 6 years and 200 rejections to get on?
Well, I'll tell you, I was so bound and determined that this book was going to get out there that, yes, the rejections would set me back for a day or two, but then I would be right back at it thinking, I could fix this. If I had known, see, I didn't even know I was going to write a book, and I didn't even dream of publishing it until people started telling me this is, you know, pretty good story. You know, you should probably think about this. But I knew it wasn't publishable because I didn't know how to write a book. So I spent, you know, at least 2 years with my friend making it into a book because it just didn't have a lot of components that I knew it needed. I just didn't know how to do it yet. And so it was a trial and error thing. And I've written my second book, and it's in my publisher's hands. And wow. Silly me thought, oh, well, I've written one. It'll be, you know, not anywhere near as difficult to write the second one. And that's not true.
That's amazing. So what is the second book that you wrote about? What is it going to be about?
Yeah, well, actually, it's a prequel. It's untitled right now, but it's everything that transpired in the 3 years before I accepted the job with the U.S. Forest Service. And it's more of, my publisher says it's in the young, new adult category of coming of age, that, you know, because I'm a teenager, my parents decide that they don't like living in New York anymore, so they uprooted our family in 1972 and moved us to Prescott, Arizona, and I was in my senior year of high school. And it just totally devastated me. I was just left all my friends behind. My whole world was completely upside down. I didn't want to live in Arizona, but I didn't know what I was going to do. So it's more of it's a tenacious me, but in a different way. And I can look at back now and say, you've always had this.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like
you
it.
You just didn't know it.
Yeah, and you had journals from way back then too.
I did. Thank goodness. I used to write pages and pages and pages of just, you know, wondering, you know, trying to figure out love, and I knew that I wanted a job, but I didn't want just any job, and the fact that I'm working right now on the kind of the synopsis for that book, and 1970s, early 1970s were a really interesting time, and that was the time when, you know, women's lib first came, the term women's lib came up, and women were fighting for equal rights, and there's just these little nuances that people who have beta read my second book have said, and they're in their 30s, and they're like, wow, you mean you couldn't go camping with a boy when you were living at home? You mean, why wouldn't your parents let you do that? And I'm like, that did not happen in 1972. Unless you wanted to get shot by your father.
Oh my gosh. And do you think that writing about this thing is really important right now?
It you know, it's interesting how a lot of young people, they don't understand what it was like to be a young woman in the 1970s when we were still fighting. We had the right to vote, but we didn't have the right to equal pay for equal work, and we still don't. And I knew I didn't want to be a secretary. Heaven forbid. I didn't want to be a sales clerk. I didn't want to be a waitress. But really, there wasn't much else to choose from. And my parents did not have the money to send me to college, and not that college was ever mentioned, because it was pretty rare that girls went to college. And So I really didn't have much in the way of a career. I didn't even know what a career was. I just wanted to find some work that I thought was interesting. And I couldn't find anything. And I was so frustrated because I tried to be a waitress, and I lasted 2 days. It was just awful. I'd been a secretary. Absolutely hated, you know, working in an office. And I just kept thinking, there's got to be something out there that fits what I want. And that Forest Service job fell into my lap, and it was like, oh, my gosh, where has this been? And I was only 18, and there's a lot of young people who do not have that kind of fortunate, you know, opportunity of, guess what, you're going to love this job more than anything in the world when you're 18. I mean, and I didn't become a firefighter until I was 20, but I fell into working for the Forest Service when I was 18, and I knew this is what I want.
That is so amazing. I think you've had such an interesting life and such a storyteller perspective. Like, it's almost like you were meant to write, even though you said you never thought you would write. Speaking with you, I can tell that you have that natural ability to tell a story. Is there any part of you that remembers wanting to write as a kid, or do you remember any?
No, you know, I don't. Although when I went to college, other than my journals, actually I wrote some pretty, some of the things that I read in my journals, I look at them and I thought, I wrote that. You know, some of it's rather profound. In fact, there's an excerpt in my journal, from my journal in Summers of Fire. I have a few lines in there from Summers of Fire from my journals and in my second book, because I just, you know, I couldn't say them any better. You know, it's like, it's perfect.
Wow.
But when I went to college, I had to take... I wasn't going to start until the fall of 1986, so I decided to take a couple core courses in the summer session just to get them out of the way. And so I took freshman English and algebra. And the English class, we were assigned to write a short story. We were given a few examples of what a short story should be, and we were told to write a short story. So I wrote one about my first fire. And I gave it. I turned it in, and the teacher came up to me when he was giving the papers back, and he said, "Can I keep this? This is an excellent example of a short story well written." And I was like, "Really?" And I was like, "Sure, go ahead." So back then, of course, there were no computers or anything, so it was typewritten, and I gave him my original, and I have never forgiven myself for that, because I have no idea what it was. But that was my first, you know, thought of, oh, I guess I can write something. But then I got into my, you know, my actual program, and my classes were all very, very difficult, so creative writing went out the window after that one time.
That's interesting. I almost think that you may have always been a writer and just didn't realize it, and then you had all these great experiences that you could write about. It just seemed to have worked out for you. I was kind of wondering also if you learned anything from your first book. That I know you said it was still hard to write the second book, but was there anything that you learned the first time around that made it somewhat easier in the second time?
Well, one thing that I learned was that I wrote it from beginning to end and did not keep going back to one paragraph and edit it, you know, like a gazillion times before I would move on. I just I plowed all the way through.
And do you have outlines? Like, do you just write?
Pardon?
Do you have outlines, or do you just like write everything down?
No, I just, it's chronological, and well, actually before, yeah, so what I did with the second book that I didn't do with the first book, which I paid for dearly later, is that I went straight to my journals, and I transcribed them all so that they were on the computer for the 3 years that I was going to be writing. So I had them. So if I wanted to remember, okay, so where in the timeline was I, and you know, where I am in the story right now, and I could go right to that particular time in my journals and just kind of, you know, locate myself. You know, oh, that's right, I was doing this and that. Whereas with Summers of Fire, I didn't do that until the book was written, and as I started fine-tuning things, I realized something here does not make sense, and it turned out that I had time frames mixed up, And although the reader would never know that, it messed me up because then I couldn't keep it straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I have to fix this. So I had to go in and move some entire sections around. And once you do that, it takes forever, I mean, it felt like forever, to make sure that you don't introduce people that you haven't introduced before. You know what I mean? Like, it, all of a sudden I'm mentioning somebody like I, like you know who it is.
Oh, my God. That must have been a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that took me such a long time to straighten all that out. But once I got it in order, I felt so much better. I mean, then I, you know, the time frame made much more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to make sense to me. So that's one thing, is that I was very careful not to mess up the time frame. That was a disaster. And the other thing that I learned was that, by then I was much better at writing dialogue, and I knew how important dialogue was. You don't have to remember every single word somebody says, but there were times where I actually wrote out an entire conversation that I had with someone that was rather important. And I wrote the whole thing out in my journal, and then I just took that conversation and plopped it right into the book because it didn't need anything extra.
That's nice.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
It was, you know, honest and exactly, you know, what I heard that day, and I was like, wow.
That's good to tell people that if they are thinking or something happens to them that they should document, because it will make it easier, right? Because I'm thinking to go back in time that many years, it must have been difficult. And like, how do you piece together parts that you don't have in your memory or in your journal? Some of that is,
well,
yeah.
I'm pretty lucky because I have a pretty good memory. Mm-hmm. And my journals were, you know, they were daily, so they were very specific. Now, there were instances where I think I would only have one line, you know, in my journal. And I'd think, wow, that's all I had to say about that? That's interesting because I remembered a whole lot more of that happened. But all I needed was that little jog.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes down to, because I see this a lot in Facebook groups, you know, people writing memoirs saying, but what if I don't remember what we said in the conversation? Well, that's not, the words are not as important as what you're trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're trying you're trying to get a point across, as long as what you're saying gets your point across, it doesn't matter that you don't remember exactly. It's the gist of the conversation and where it takes the story. And if it's just in there, hi, how are you, I'm fine, how are you, then it shouldn't be in there.
Hmm.
You know, you don't need conversations that are like that. I mean, that's, you know, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Amina, we're getting close to the time to end, but I just had a couple more questions. And it's been so, like, riveting talking to you, by the way. I'm learning a ton. One thing I was wondering is, you mentioned beta readers a couple of times. How did you find your... I guess they're like critique partners or beta readers.
Yeah, like critique partners. Well, I found them actually online, and I'll have to say I was never one for social media, but when I discovered Facebook, not for friends but for writing groups, I made connections there, and I belonged to quite a few of them, and I would just ask, is anybody interested? I've got a memoir. It's about this many words. I'll exchange. I'll look at yours if you'll look at mine. And we can start out with a few. I learned really quickly, always ask for like one chapter just to see if you two are, a good fit. But that's where I found them. And the ones that I had for Summers of Fire, we're still friends.
Wow.
It was more than just, you know, I'll read yours, you read mine. We really got connected with each other. And not all of them, but some of them I did. And they were just so valuable. They would catch things. And it's not like I made all of the changes that they asked me to make. That was my call. But if they said that something didn't work for them or they had a hard time, you know, following a particular section, I always paid attention and I'd take a look. I just got onto Facebook writing groups and I would ask. And there's a lot of, and since I'm writing memoir, of course, there's quite a few memoir writing groups, and I would specifically go there. And then I also joined a writer's group in my community, and I found two in that group. so they were local.
That's good. But, that's good advice. I mean, I think you've given a lot of great advice about, you know, listening to feedback, to not giving up, getting a beta group reader, a critique group. What else advice would you give someone who's thinking about or working on their memoir?
Well, I would say there's a tremendous resource out there. If you just Google writing a memoir, you're going to come up with, and I did a lot of research on my own. I didn't ever ask those questions in memoir writing groups. I did my own research, and I found blogs to follow. I found a number of articles about, you know, it, like Writer's Digest, which is a, you know, a premier magazine that you could buy, but they also have an online version, and they have some really excellent contributors in that. And I would read everything I could about writing memoir, and I read as many memoirs as I possibly could. Good and bad ones. The bad ones taught me what not to do. The good ones made me think, oh, boy, I wish I could write like that. it's something that, you know, you've got to be sure that you're understanding what you're trying to do with your story. Memoirs are very hard to sell. And that's why it took me 2 years. I mean, the memoir market is flooded. Mm. Everybody's writing a memoir. So you might not be able to get picked by a literary agent or a small publisher right now, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try, because I'll tell you, I learned more about writing and writing well by the rejection letters that I got.
That's really important to remember.
Even if you end up self-publishing, if you go through the traditional route first, your book will be polished. Because you're going to get, you know, like I said, you're not going to get a whole lot of people who are going to give you advice. They're just going to reject you and say, no, we're not interested. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. But you're going to, every now and then, you're going to get somebody that says, this section here just really needs some work, or the first paragraph didn't draw me in, or whatever. And then fix it. Mm-hmm. Fix it. And just keep on querying.
Great advice. I mean, I almost think that, wonder if all the experience you had having to, you know, really fight through the difficult experiences that you had made you so strong and resilient, able to get through that. Because, I mean, everything you mentioned was difficult, and I think it takes like a really strong person to get through it. And sometimes we need that, you know, when we're writing, and when we're writing not just for ourselves but for other people. So thank you. That was like so helpful.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I'm glad it was helpful. You know, it's something that, believe in your story. You've got to believe in your story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just don't let anyone tell you that you can't get it done. But you're going to have to. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. It's just hard work.
That's
no
wonderful.
One said it would be easy. But, that's the last I'm going to say. It's hard work. But it's worth it. It was so worth it to get published traditionally. It was so worth it. It was worth those 2 years.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Congratulations, by the way. And when should we expect your second book to come out?
It's still in my publisher's hands. So I don't know. Because it took 18 months. Once they accepted my book, it was 18 months later that it came out. So
it's a lot of patience. Yeah, well, we'll put all the information in the show notes so people can find you and learn more information, get updates about your book. And again, I just wanted to thank you, Linda. You're so generous with your answers and so thoughtful. And really, I learned a ton of our conversation. So thank you again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your interest and our really enjoyed our discussion today.
Thanks.